All right, good morning. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3 this morning, and I want to give you kind of a New Year's message, kind of a New Year, New Outlook kind of message for this year. And I know Jonathan covered some of that last week, and I was trying to go to the website to see if I could hear it, and it wasn't posted yet, but hopefully it's soon. And that's a little plug for the website. If you're at home, if you're at work, or wherever it may be, we have a pretty good library of, is it MP3s, Les? What's it called? It's MP3s. So you could go and pull up a message and go through the book of Exodus. I know that. but you could, there's multiple topics. So again, it's something that's available. I know there's many messages available on the web, but just a way to stay in the Word every day. Keep encouraged, keep growing, keep living for the Lord. And that's some of the things I want to talk about for this message this morning. So, but we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. Happy New Year. I wasn't here last week, so I want to say officially Happy New Year. It is going to be a happy, and it is a new year, right? New year for new possibilities, new challenges, new opportunities. And I think I like Thanksgiving, because it's a holiday that focuses on family, getting together, eating a lot. But I think that's one of my favorite holidays with the family. But in general, the new year is what I get excited about. I really look at the new year as a turning over a new leaf. Turning over, well, okay, I evaluated. I have a time of evaluation of how the past year went, or even my past life, and where the Lord has built me or led me to. Now it's like getting ready for a new adventure, a new great adventure. I was listening to Stephen Curtis Chapman, and I'm dating myself because it's an old song, but Stephen Curtis Chapman, The Great Adventure, it just fires me up to think that, okay, the Lord has given me another day to, you know, breath in my lungs to breathe, and how I could glorify Him before, you know, His soon return. So that's what I'd like to talk about. We're going to be at Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to talk about staying focused, talk about self-discipline for our lives before the Lord, and how we could grow more in the knowledge of the Lord. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to read the whole chapter here. Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us be of the same mind. Verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many of them I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Let's ask the Lord for His blessing on this. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You once again, Lord, that we may pause and consider Your Word, Lord, and that we may, Lord, examine our lives and where we are with You, Lord, and look toward a new day, look toward a new year, Lord, where we could focus on You and glorify Your name in our lives, Lord. Lord, be with us now. Lead us by the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we may understand Your words, Lord, and that we may leave here changed, Lord, that we may leave here with Your words echoing in our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we may get the things out of our life, Lord, that of this earth, Lord, and that that we can, like Paul, count all things as rubbish, Lord, and glorify You more in our lives. Lord, we ask for all these things in Your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, I want to focus on a few verses that Paul focuses on. And you have to really consider Paul's message here and the timing of his message. In Philippians, he's speaking to the Philippian believers, encouraging them, but also encouraging them because there were Judaizers coming in. Judaizers saying, no, you have to follow the law or the precepts prior to be of the faith. And Paul is really, it's a dramatic picture here of him pointing out to the believers here, no, you need to focus on Christ. You need to focus on the gospel and what it means to be a believer in the gospel, and to put away what he calls here, beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of this faith of works, but believe on the faith of righteousness. Believe on faith of what Christ has done. And this is something that he echoes over and over here. And the verses that I want to focus on today was verse 12 through 14. And again, these verses really push us to think of where we are and where we need to be pointing to. And even Paul in this chapter, he focuses on the past of who he was. He focuses on the present, that he counts all things as rubbish, and now I'm going to do this. And then in the latter part of the chapter, he says, verse 20, for our citizenship is where? Heaven. Where? In heaven. He focuses on where we're going to go, right? So it's really interesting. And look at these verses, and what Paul's desire is, and it's what I say is, should our desire be in the same way? Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. He knows in this life he's not already attained it or perfected. But he says, I press on. I press on that I may lay hold of that which is in Christ Jesus, has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. He's not saying I know it all, nor that I have apprehended anything. But look at where his vision is. But one thing I do, one thing I'm going to do, and one thing I'm going to look forward to, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, I love New Year's, okay? Well, growing up, we grew up in an Indian assembly, and a part of some of the Indian culture is New Year's, we have a watch night service. You know, we're watching, we're looking forward to the new year. And it's interesting, it was always good because it felt like a relief of 1 year is over. You know, no matter what the previous year had, you know, we've had families that gone through a lot of trials and tribulations, sicknesses, children, falling off the path, maybe coming back or still off the path, but a lot of heartache, right? But the Lord always gives us this forgiveness, this renewing. You know, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I love that verse. I always repeat it to myself. Create, you know, it's just that thought of renewal. And Paul is saying in this passage, you know, I haven't apprehended it all. I don't know it all. But I'm looking forward to where I need to be with the Lord. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which is in Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. You know, I got saved at 10 years old, but I really didn't start living for the Lord, not even in high school, but really when I entered college, He got me away from my comfort zone and kind of asked me, and He kind of showed me a picture of the world and what the world had to offer compared to what Christ has to offer or has already given to me. Paul was thinking about all these things. I wrote here, having the right perspective for life, all for Christ. In this particular chapter of Philippians, Paul is addressing the Philippians who were dealing with Judaizers and those who were coming in to teach them false doctrines and trying to move them away from what Paul had taught them. Paul wanted to warn them of their false works based in religion and to focus on their faith in the gospel for which they have believed and are now following. Here, Paul particularly leads them to think and evaluate what they must do to remain in the faith and to move forward in living a vibrant life, growing in the knowledge of God and serving Him every day. I don't know about you guys, but when I think about my relationship with the Lord, I'm not happy. Not happy because I know He wants more from me. I know He wants holiness in my life. I know He wants me to live a blameless life. Though I have sinful desires and I fall often, I want to remain close to Him and asking Him forgiveness and living for Him. Vibrant life, glorifying God in our lives. Do you want that in your life? Do we want that in our life? A lot of people think you get saved and then, you know, you start growing and then you kind of plateau off. Have you heard of the plateau life? But I don't think that in a believer's life there should be ever a plateau. It's soaring. You're soaring like an eagle, knowing Christ more, knowing God more in your life, and glorifying Him more. That's tough. I'm not saying that's easy. That's tough. But I think that's what Paul is saying here, what God wants us to know. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. You see, Paul's desire, his vision, he had such a godly vision. Of course, he had an awesome conversion experience, right? But he never sat back and said, I'm good. You know, let me check it off. I attend my meetings on Sunday. I go to Wednesday night. I think I have good attendance. You know, we're in this, you know, I got 100% perfect attendance. Kindergarten, probably first through sixth, I think I got 100%. But, you know, you get that mentality of, if I attend, I'm good to go. But that's not what Christ is calling for. He's looking at the heart, right? You know, these Judaizers, they're saying you have to follow the letter of the law to be concerned, to really be of the faith. But no, Paul was drawing their attention to their heart and to their mind. So this is what I wanted us to focus on today, is what was Paul's vision? He doesn't just say this, but he actually lays it out what he wants to do. Okay, and I want us to kind of really focus on this. He focuses on this in verses 9 through 11. On certain aspects that he talks about and how what we can focus on for the new year. See if I get it. He talks about leaving the past behind. He talks about that I may know Him. I may press on to know Him more. That I may understand the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. This is what he says. He's saying, I haven't already attained, I haven't already perfected it, nor will we until we know reach to heaven. But he says, this is what I lay hold of. This is what I press on to. And this is what I'd like to look at today. So let's look at the first one here. Man, we just don't have time. It's flying, you know? I'm like, okay. I'd like to look at the first one, having the right perspective in life. And he's first focused on leaving the past behind. His purpose here, let's look at verse 9 through 11 one more time. Philippians 3, 9 through 11. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Right? Paul, if anyone could say he's righteous because of his past, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is from God, which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. His purpose here of describing all that he has gained is to show it doesn't compare to the treasures he has now gained in meeting Christ. And then we had Jim Elliot's quote here. Let me go back here in Philippians chapter 3. And he says here, verse 4. Look at verse 4 with me. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews concerning law, a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He focuses his purpose here, describing that if it was anyone that can attain a good standing with God, well, look at his resume. But he doesn't count his resume, does he? He puts it behind him, leaving the past behind. And what does verse 13 say? Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And he's counting things all as lost. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Leaving the past behind. Paul is putting everything prior to his conversion behind him and saying, I don't need to focus on this anymore. I'm moving forward to knowing Christ more. He's looking at the treasures. He's looking at the rewards he has in Christ. You know, and some of us, we don't pause and think what we have in Christ. You know, some of us, you know, have a testimony where we've come from down the roads that we don't even want to think about anymore. But they don't even compare now to the new life we have in Christ, right? It's, you know, this Jim Elliot quote, I got to tell you honestly, I heard it very young in life. I never understood it. I could tell you, I haven't understood it till probably after college. I was like, why does everybody think this is such a good quote? Like, what's the big deal? But this quote really talks, just think of the quote. Then we think about what happened with Jim Elliot. He said, He is no fool to give what he cannot keep. Right? He is no fool to give what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. I would add, in Christ. Cannot lose in Christ. He's no fool to give what he cannot keep. Everything that we gain in this life, it's all going to burn away, right? It's all going to be gone. So it doesn't have any purpose. But if we focus on what we have gained in Christ and the rewards we have in Christ, the peace we have in Christ, this world is full of destruction and upheaval, and I mean, this world has no notion of peace. Sure, they try in their own way to create peace, but what is the peace we have in Christ? What is the peace we have in Christ? You know, one of my favorite verses here, and I wasn't planning on this, but let me see if I can find it real quick. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What a thought, to think that we have peace, we have access, full access to God. Do we focus on that enough? Do we think about that enough? Think about Jim Elliot. He is no fool to give what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. Think about Jim Elliot and the life of the five missionaries that went down to Ecuador to go to a tribe. We talked about tribes this morning, didn't we? To go to all nations and all tribes to share the gospel to those that were not even looking for it. They could care less. They were, you know, in the tribal areas, not even wearing clothes, you know, having their own life. But they did not know of the Savior. What a life to give all for Christ. And these five missionaries went down to share Christ to them. And you think, not even, I can't remember the amount of time they had on the field, to think about, okay, how do we go find them? For the sake of Christ, how do I go find these people? How are we going to connect with them? How am I going to make a runway to drop a plane in to bring the gospel to them? And he had this thought in his mind. I don't know how we're going to do this, but I know I have Christ. I know I have all that I need to live for this life. Do we focus on that enough? To gain what he cannot lose. So what happened because of these missionaries? This is a picture I found just recently. The 50-year anniversary of the killing of the missionaries were, how many years ago? Sorry. Is it 3 years ago? 2 years ago? I can't remember. Sorry. Anyway, maybe it was more than that.
2 years ago.
2 years ago, I think. This is a picture, a current picture of the tribes that they went to go reach. And this article that came with this picture was talking about the Alkan killers that killed Jim. He was a pastor, he was an elder. And he's in his 70s, 80s, I'm not sure. But he led this service of baptizing believers, all for the sake of five missionaries that went to give all for the sake of Christ. Now this is Jim Elliott's, and what is our perspective for this new year? Do we still consider, oh, woe is me from the past, and what things I didn't get done in the past year? Or do I look forward to a new year, leaving the past behind me? And Paul's message here is that I may press on, that I may lay hold of. What else did Paul want to focus on here? To the knowledge that he may know him. That he may know him. He says in chapter 3, verse 10. Let me back up to verse 9. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him. What is he saying with that? I may know him. He says this over and over again throughout the chapter. Knowing him. Here Paul is describing much more than just knowing about Christ. But what he says is Christ, about having a personal relationship with him. Paul here, he says, you know, if Paul had anything to know, he knew of Christ, right? He knew the Old Testament. He knew about a prophetical Savior coming. But this was radically different, wasn't it? It's radically different to know Christ in a personal way, to have a living relationship with the Savior. You know, any other religion in the world, you study, you, some of you guys fresh out of college, you know there's Buddhism, Hinduism, you know, Jainism, I don't know what all the isms are out there. But they're all a method, right? It's a method to enlightenment. It's a method of, it's even Buddha, right? It's the teachings of Buddha. But we as believers have a Savior who we have a relationship with. You know, I could read an autobiography of Abraham Lincoln. I could read a biography of D.L. Moody. And I could know about him. But do I really know him?
No.
Do I have a relationship with him? No, right? Paul was saying that I may know him and understand who he is in my life. In this year, how will you know Christ more? How do you plan to know him more? How will you be in the Word? How will you pray more in this new year? Not just to do it, do you understand what I'm saying? Not to be a Judaizer and mark it off, but to have the goal of knowing him more in my life. And I'm going to focus on this as we get to the practical part, if I ever get to it, but we'll get there. The next part. Sorry, did I do that twice? Yes. This is open office, right? So I'm getting used to it. The next point is the power of his resurrection. So you see in verse 10, let's go back to verse 10. And this is Paul's goals, right? That I may know him. And then he says, and the power of his resurrection. What is Paul saying here? What is the power of his resurrection? And if I'm really simple here, I apologize, but I want to understand the word as clearly as possible. What is the power of his resurrection? Let me get here again. Righteousness of Christ. Verse 9 and 10 here, he focuses on what does it mean to have the righteousness of Christ, the power of his resurrection. What did the resurrection do for me? Okay? If Christ came down from heaven, lived this life with the goal of going to the cross, dying for my sins being accounted to him, what does it matter if he just stayed in the grave? What if it was, alright, close it up, let's go home, story's ended there. Would that have given us anything?
No, right.
No, why? Because his righteousness had to be accounted to us. He had to pay the penalty for sin, and by the power of his resurrection, we have victory over sin, right? The paying of sin, and it gets accounted to us. You know, something I wrote here, Paul here points back to his old life and pointing out how as a Pharisee, they lived by a works-based righteousness, which is pointing to self-righteousness. These Pharisees, and checking off the list and following the letter of the law, was pointing to their self-righteousness. But Paul says, but now in Christ, he has gained an imputed righteousness. Imputed righteousness, where because of Christ's work on the cross, Paul is free from his sin because Christ has credited to him, has put it to his account. You know, it's like that court scene, right? You know, I think of someone that's done an atrocity of some sort. Okay? Murder, lying, thief. You go up to a court and you go to a holy and just judge, can he say, oh, this is your first time? You know, it's okay. I'm just going to forget it. No, he can't do that. God is a holy and just God. That's why in our Lord's Supper this morning, it was enmity to him. Sin could not be before a holy and blameless God. But because of Christ, it's that man coming through the doors and saying, I'll take it. I'll take it for him. You know what? You are a sinner. You are lost. You are so far, you're a stranger and foreigner to God. But, you know, God, Christ speaking here saying, I'm standing in his stead. I'll take his punishment. I'll go to the cross for him. God sent his only begotten son to die for a sinner such as me. Paul is saying here, don't look at me, Paul, the Hebrew of the Hebrews. And I even had zeal to persecute the church. And the letter of the law, he's saying, no, I'm found in Christ now. Because of what Christ has done for me and the power of his resurrection, He has done it all. 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in myself." My own self-righteousness? No. The righteousness of God in him. You see what Paul is focusing on? This is his goals. He's focusing on the power of his resurrection. If any of the believers in Philippi, in Galatia, or Ephesians, wherever, said, "Oh, Paul is awesome. Of course he's a good man. Oh, he definitely has to make it to heaven." No, Paul is not saying that. He's saying it's because of Christ. It's because of what he has done that I stand before you all. Paul is saying it's the power of his resurrection and focusing on that, that I live my life today. Oops, sorry. The next part I want to focus on is, I'm going back here from screen to screen here. The last thing he says in that he focuses on in verse 9, and look with me in verse 9. Verse 9 and 10. "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, one, and the power of the resurrection, two, and the fellowship of his sufferings." What is he focusing on there? The fellowship of his suffering. This is something I had to get my mind around. What is he saying? The fellowship of his suffering. Why focus on that? And I started to define it, look at other scriptures and see what is he talking about. And I found it was a privilege to suffer for Christ. Look at Philippians 1, 29, verse 30. "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me." Not only to believe in him, but to suffer for him. And I like this little quote, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me." As we grow in our knowledge of Christ, okay, and this is why I want you guys to hear me on this. Something I had to put into words to actually to understand it. As we grow in our knowledge of Christ and our experience of his power, we come under the attack of the enemy. Paul knew this firsthand with his prior experience being the persecutor and now being the persecutee, right? Or the person that has persecution. What does it mean to take up your cross daily? What does it mean to take up the cross daily? You know, and this is something I had to figure out in my own mind. To suffer for Christ, it's a privilege, right? To suffer for Christ and to share the gospel, it's our privilege to be a part of his work till he returns. And if in some way, and I have to, it's, you know, we live in America, we live in the U.S., right? How does persecution come in a land of liberty? How does persecution come where we live in a land that's full of freedoms? And it's difficult, but I think it's something we need to think about more is, how do we live for Christ that this world starts to see something difficult in me that doesn't jive with them? You know, does that make sense? You know, and I started thinking about this in my life. Prior to my Blue Cross experience, I worked for a company that Blue Cross bought. And I was studying through seminary, and an issue came up at work where my testimony was in question. Something I did, they counted it as false, or it was not right what Arnold did. But what I did wasn't necessarily right for Blue Cross or partners. It was partners. But it was right because it was the right thing to do. And I started to feel the heat of that. I started to feel, well, you know, I know, yeah, maybe the right thing to do, but it puts us in a bad light with the doctor's office. It was dealing with a doctor's office. And I said, So you wanted me to do to lie about it? Did you want me to just put it to the side like nothing happened? And my manager at that time said to me, yes, whatever we say for you to do, you're supposed to do. And I said, well, that's not who I am. That's not something I'm going to do, because it wasn't the right thing to do. And I ended up leaving, because instead of staying there and my testimony or having my testimony questioned in some way, I said, it's not worth it. Now, people at work were like, what are you, crazy? This is such a small issue. But I'm not going to work for people who are not going to believe in me and what I did was right. You know, even, you know, I have, Jennifer could attest to this, I have a lot of difficulties at work right now. And the way management handles people, management deals with people, and if I cannot be able, for the sake of Christ, be who I am and be able to share the gospel, it's better to be out of work than to live there and deal with it. Does that make sense? The fellowship of his sufferings, the privilege to suffer for Christ. What do we focus on as we think about this? I have to move forward here because I want to get to the practical part here. So I want to draw your attention to something here. Coming back to this, these verses, Paul focuses on this, and I want us to really focus on this as we think about the new year. This new year, each day that we get another day to glorify God. We get another day to know Him, to know the power of His resurrection, to fellowship in His sufferings, leaving everything behind. We get another day to do that. And Paul's focus here, and I maybe it would be small here, but this is what Paul says. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I haven't figured it out, but one thing I do. Paul focuses on that. One thing I'm going to do different. One thing I'm going to focus on is this. And to bring it down in practical terms, I want us to think about what will we do different this year to know Him, the power of His resurrection, and to fellowship, to serve Him, and to experience the sufferings of Christ. And I broke it down practically here. So if you can, give me a few more minutes. You know, and there's a little illustration here. What is the busiest day of the year? What is the busiest day of the year? Some say it's Christmas, Black Friday, you know, whatever it is. The busiest day of the year is someday. S-O-M-E-D-A-Y. Someday, right? We are always changing or wanting to do something. We'll say, yeah, I'll do that someday. I'll get to it. You know, that new Bible study? Oh, I'm going to read through the Bible? Yeah, I'll do that someday. I'll get to that. But Paul is saying, but one thing I do now, looking forward to a new year, this is what I'm going to do. So this is what I want to focus on and give you some practical points here. Psalms even says in the Bible, Psalms 119:60, I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. Did not delay. And Paul focuses on this. Victories depend on focus, concentration, and fixed plans and self-discipline. D. James Kennedy said, as Christians, we too need to focus our attention on our goal to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So how do we do that? How do we do that? And I just put three steps for the new year. Self-discipline. How are we going to discipline our lives more in knowing Christ and glorifying Him? Sorry, here. Here we go. Come on. You see the mouse? Oh, sorry. Carefully select and clear-cut goals. You know, this is something, and I'm just going to give you some pointers here, because this is some things that I think about this new year. Ever since Aaron was born, I haven't exercised. I've gained weight, and even my blue screening or health wellness wasn't good this year. My wife has mentioned that, hey, we need to work on that. So I'm going to plan. Here's clear-cut goals. Huh?
Use the stairs
more. Yeah, she knows I use the elevator a lot. But clear-cut goals. Have you sat down either as a family, as yourself, as a couple, and have clear-cut goals? You know, this is not right. Ruben and I, you know, we were thinking about what the Lord has in store for us this year. And we sat down and we said, you know what? Yeah, we have family devotions at night where we read a story from Anjali's Bible and we sing and we pray at night. But it's still not enough for Ruba and I. We as a couple should be sitting down in the morning, reading the Bible together, reading a devotion, and praying together. And so we decided, when did we start that? November, right? I think it was in November. We started in November, and it's been... I'm not a morning person. I'll tell you that. I'm not a morning person. But I committed to wake up 30 minutes earlier so we could have that time together. We get our coffee, we get our tea, we sit down and we do that. And I'll tell you guys, it's been very precious. You know, I'm not a morning person, but to know Him more and to glorify God more in our lives, we have the clear-cut goal of doing that for us. What are you going to do for your family? For the young ones here, let me get all the children's attention here.
Okay.
We have this track of reading the Bible, through the Bible for a year. I'm giving you a goal right now. If you guys, and these tracks are not out here, so I'll give it to you as you leave. For the children, well, for the older ones too, if you think you're a child. But if you do this, I want you to, if you read through the Bible halfway, by June 30th, and you could mark off. I'm doing this myself. I'm actually a day behind. I'll be really honest. I'm a day behind, but I'm in Genesis chapter 15. So you could catch up, and you cross it off. There will be a prize for you. Okay? By June 30th. And by the end of the year, if you finish through the Bible, there'll be another prize for you. But having a clear-cut goal of working through the Bible. That's an awesome way just to read the Word of God. It says in the Word of God, if you read the Word of God, it'll bring blessings upon you. Reading the Word of God, clear-cut goals. If you don't have a family devotion time every night, every morning, whatever it may be, start now. The Lord's blessing will be upon it. Having clear-cut goals. Staying focused, maintaining a burning desire to attain your goals, not by self-confidence, but by prayerful dependence upon the Holy Spirit and constant reminders. Self-discipline to push to achieve your goals. Staying focused, you know, having this mindset of, okay, I'm going to do this. You know, we'll falter, we'll have those busy days, but stay focused on spending time in the Word, knowing God, power is resurrection. Let me pause and say this. Have you ever shared the gospel to that person that you've always wanted to share the gospel? Have a goal. Hey, this one person I want to invite to a Bible study. And I'm going to invite them and we're going to pray together or whatever it may be. I'm going to pass out tracts this year. That's another goal of mine. I want to pass out more tracts this year. I want to make sure I have a tract before I go to a restaurant. So I keep a stack right before I leave the house. Or I have a bunch of tracts in my car. You know, there's planning to this. Does that make sense? Finally, you can't see that. It says, creating workable plans. There's no point in creating goals unless there's a charted course to reach those goals. Charting a course. People do not plan to fail. They fail to plan. Make sense? People do not plan to fail. They just fail to plan. Did I say that right? Fail to plan, yeah. You know, sitting down, I remember we were thinking about, I forgot, Johnny Gordon had a message one year, and it was right at, it was like a New Year message. And he was talking about giving unto the Lord. The Lord blesses us with jobs, right? Financially and whatever it may be. Ruba and I, and we actually do it every year now, we have everything, of course, Ruba has everything on an Excel sheet. Okay, she has everything, you know, formulas, formats and everything. But we look at everything, we create a workable plan. We want to make sure we're giving onto the Lord. We want to make sure that we're doing things right in the sight of God. And so we sit down and we plan. As a child of God, and I'll close with this, if we want to know God more, if we want to have the knowledge of Christ more in our lives, if we want to know the power of His resurrection, if we want to fellowship in His sufferings, what are we going to do for that? Paul was saying, this one thing I do. Not, he didn't say, this one thing I'm going to do someday, or this one thing I'm going to do maybe in 3 months. He says, now. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, are we? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of living for the Lord. Let me pause with it. Let me end with this. And I thank you for giving me a few more minutes. Let me see if I get it right here. There's a story of a try to say it without crying here. There's a story of a African missionary, and he was a brand new believer, and he was so on fire for the Lord. He wanted to live his life to the fullest, and I say that to myself. I want to live life to the fullest, not just for me, but for His glory. And they say he wrote this creed. And I might be not getting their story right, but they say he wrote this creed. And they found this creed when he was killed for his life, when he was killed for the sake of the Lord. And he said this, and may this be our creed as we look towards the new year. It's called a Christian commitment, and he says, "My colors." This is what this missionary said. He said, "I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed." I've probably read this before, and I love this. It says, "The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His, and I won't look back. Let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm done and finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right or first or tops or recognized or praised or rewarded. I live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by His Holy Spirit power. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven. My road may be narrow, my way rough, my companions few, but my guide is reliable and my mission is clear. I will not be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of the adversary. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until He comes. And when He does come for His own, He'll have no problem recognizing me. My colors will be clear." John, thank you.
Father, we thank You so much for the truth that we've heard. We thank You that You have provided everything that we need for living and for godliness in the Lord Jesus Christ. That You have given us the power through Your resurrection to live new lives, to lay all things of the past behind and to walk in Your newness of life, to walk in Your power and strength. Father, I just pray that we take the words of this message this morning, the scriptures that we've heard, the injunctions in it, and to apply it in our lives, that we might set goals that count for eternity, for Your kingdom, Lord Jesus, that we would be spending our lives for the profit of spiritual things and for eternity. So, Lord, just continue to bear these things down on our minds and hearts, even as we go out and into the world, into our daily lives, that we might not be forgetful hearers, but apply them to our daily living. We thank you now for these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.